should. So yes, I am nervous. People have been giving me advice, you know, keep eye contact, all that stuff. Somebody gave me advice too, like you probably all have heard, if you're up on stage, imagine everybody else in their underwear. The problem with that is Chris Whitehill sits up front. So, okay. So today I'm going to talk about an analogy between trees and the way a Christian should live. God created everything, and everything is good. He has given us great mysteries in everything that he's made into why he... So, let's look at everything around. And if you look in West Virginia, you're obviously going to see some trees. And trees make West Virginia so beautiful. I feel that if we really just take time to analyze everything, we could find out why God has created everything. It's hard to tell why God found it important to build a chair. Obviously, you can sit in it, but maybe he had different purposes that we don't even know about. But anyways, for me, I see that a tree has many unique characteristics. God has found it important. A tree is used to make lumber, to make a house, build anything, paper. Yep. Trees grow fruit in which we can eat, and it helps purify the air that we breathe. There are many species of trees all around, and you can tell the difference between every tree. There's a difference between a pine tree and an oak tree, a cherry tree, and you name it, there's a difference. And I pray as Christians that people can see the difference between us and a non-Christian. So my first verse today would be Colossians 2, 6, 7, or chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, "So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing it with thankfulness." Let's go to the Word and pray. Father God, I first want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving me a church that loves me enough to give me the opportunity to preach. I pray that this message that I'm about to bring forward is pleasing to your ears, Lord. I pray that nothing I say will be of my own words, but everything I say will be your words, and that will come directly from your word. I ask that the congregation would be able to take this message you have given me and be able to apply it to their lives as it would strengthen their faith. But most importantly, Lord, I ask you, if I am to say anything that someone feels is inaccurate, then I pray that they come to me and challenge me in love. I pray that you give me the knowledge to back up the words I speak today. And I say all this in your name. Amen. Okay. So, I just want to tell you a little bit how I came up with the topic of my sermon. My dad and one of his friends were talking one day, and the question came up, what type of tree would you want your marriage or relationship to resemble? And they both sat there, as you guys are probably thinking right now, what kind of trees? And you're thinking an oak tree, spruce tree, beech tree, any kind of tree you're thinking about right now. My dad answered, an oak tree. And an oak tree is big and strong, you think. And the guy looked at him and said, no. Now, a tree, in a marriage, you want to be flexible. Things are going to happen. You're going to run into financial issues. You're going to have kids, and that's an issue. You're going to run into many issues. Okay. So, but if you think about it, or then me and my dad were thinking about it, what kind of tree would you want your relationship with God to resemble? But it's kind of hard to pick one tree, for all trees have their weaknesses. If you're a big tree, you're going to be blown over. And if you're a small tree, you're going to break. However, we decided that there's only certain... We decided about characteristics of trees rather than a whole tree itself. So, a tree, it doesn't have to be big. It can be small. So, we decided what qualities should a healthy relationship with God have. So, I sat down and started to think on how I could make a sermon out of this. So I pray to God to give me his word he wanted me to speak, and I pray that all of you will get something out of this as well. So my first point, I don't even know if I have these up, yeah. First point is the trunk. For a tree to be strong, it has to have a large trunk. The trunk is the foundation, it's the main support, it's the backbone of a tree. With a larger trunk comes a high tolerance to high winds by staying stiff. If the trunk is rather small, when high winds come, it can bend or even break. Now, on several occasions, Pastor Larry has talked about what it means to be a hokey-pokey kind of Christian. And a hokey-pokey kind of Christian, as if you haven't been paying attention or sleeping, it means that these are the Christians that dip in and out of the Bible. They know the truth, they know the word, but they don't always agree with it, they choose to live against it. So they read the Bible, and for the most part, they understand the Bible. However, they seem to ignore the verses they don't like. They understand what sin is, but they don't understand that all sin is equal. They don't understand that being a drunk is the same as telling a lie. So they may go and drink, but because they don't see any harm in it at the time, but they don't know that being a drunk is the same as telling a lie. And as for me, being in college, I see a lot of my friends that are Christians. They say they're Christians and they talk about it and everything, but when Thursdays come around, you won't see them studying or anything. They're out partying and drinking. The bad thing about that is that Westlib on Friday's the least day that you see anybody in your room. You have a lot of people missing because they just can't wake up in the morning. You all know why. Also, last week, one of Larry's main points were we can't conform to the world, but we must transform as Christians into the example that God has given us. In a world like today, it's rather easy to be caught up in the temptations. So a quick story is, I have an uncle who made a swing set, and he made it out of the trees being the frame. So we have three trees like this, and we have a big 2x6 going across the top of the tree like that. And from that hangs the swings. Well, he built that when my cousins were born, and they're 30-something now. Through the years, that tree has completely overgrown the 2x6, as trees will. If you put a nail into a tree, it will be overgrown. And I got to thinking, that's kind of what sin is. If you have sin in your life, it's there. And the longer you keep it, the bigger it's going to become, the harder it's going to take. The harder it is going to be, it's going to be to get rid of it. So if my uncle would want to get that board out, obviously the board just can't pop out by itself. It needs somebody on the outside to help him. So for my uncle to do that, he would have to cut it and hit it and do everything he can to get the tree that's overgrown it to be cut out. So if you connect that to sin in your life, the longer it is, the bigger it is. And as Christians or non-Christians, you can't get out of sin alone. You have to have somebody help you, and that's God. But the longer it's in there, the longer you're in sin, the longer it's going to be, the harder it's going to be for you to get out of it. So as Christians, it's important for all our foundation in our faith to be strong, like a tree trunk. For trees, the stronger and bigger the tree, the healthier it is. However, trees can sometimes be blown over if their trunk is not strong enough. If a trunk is not strong enough and the wind comes, it's going to bend. It's going to bend left and right, or it might even break if it's too strong. If a tree is not strong enough to withstand the power of a high windstorm, it would even give in or die. But with a little love and support, some trees can be nurtured back to a healthy state. Christians are kind of on the same branch. The more you read and know the word, the healthier you'll be. The stronger in your faith you'll become. And to the same degree, we as Christians can be pushed by temptation and break. So it's like the wind, in my mind, the way I see it is the wind is temptation. Okay, when the wind comes, it's going to blow the tree. If you're a strong foundation, you're not going to bend. You're just going to stay firm. You're going to have a strong front. If your trunk isn't strong enough, you might give here, you might give there. But as you give in, you're going to keep on moving left or right. And if the wind's too strong, you might even break. So as Christians, we need to have a strong foundation in our word. That way we can have our strong front, and we won't bend. We'll stay stiff on our foundation. So at this time, when you're bending, Satan's going to see that you bend, and he's just going to keep on pushing you with the reason why you bend. If drinking is your problem, he's going to throw out every opportunity for you to go drinking with your friends or anything. But no matter how far we bend, we always have our Savior. We have God, who can be our support beam. God will forgive us and will always keep us in his will. He's not going to promise you a happy 24/7 life. But if we are obedient and our words, prove we are true born-again Christians, when our day of judgment comes, then we will have an everlasting life. Now, I talked about the foundation of the trees, but what about the stronghold of a tree, the roots, in which keeps the tree grounded? Verse 7, in which says, then the word of God. So the roots hold the tree down. They're working underground. They're spread all throughout. As Christians, we're also supposed to spread out and spread our word. Roots spread out to get nutrients from the soil. That's how they eat. The farther out and downward the roots grow, the more likely the tree won't become uprooted. This can be related to a Christian's life, as we are to spread the word of God. Just like the tree spread its roots and search for a source of food, Christians should talk to other people about the word of God. These new people who have been given the word of God is kind of like the nutrients in which trees look for by becoming stronger. By spreading the word of God or discipling the others, you are bringing others to Christ and glory of God. In a world like today, where the stats say approximately 31% of the world believe in Christianity, 23% believe in Muslim, 16% is unaffiliated, 15% is Hindu, and 1% is Jewish. But there's many sources that say in the next 3 to 5 years, Christianity might not have the highest percentile. Muslim is the highest growing religion right now. So, as Christians, we must spread the word to bring more people to Christ in hopes that one day they will do the same. This is by fulfilling the Great Commission given to us by Christ. If we don't spread the word, then in a few years, who says Christianity might not have the highest percentile? Like a tree, to become stronger, it must reach out for new resources. Same goes for Christians. As Christians, to make Christianity stronger and bigger, we must reach out and fellowship with one another. We must fellowship with other people, not just of the church, but strangers. People that you see on the streets, people you see in stores, people who need help. We should strive as Christians to talk to someone every day about Jesus Christ. And then there are some people, such as Ed. Ed, I don't know if you see him. When he wears his glasses, he has a red dot in his glasses. If you ever talk to him about it, he'll tell you that it's a reminder for him to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ every day by, 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock. Yeah, some people have it on their eyeglasses, their watch, their phones. So that's pretty cool. So for the past couple weeks, Pastor Larry has been talking about the revival, a revival that we have in our church and that is needed in all churches. So recently, I feel like our church has been doing really good with this. I mean, we're not trying to brag about our church because we all have our problems. I mean, last week we had Ralph fall asleep and yawn. So we have one of the biggest VBSs around that I know of. We have tons of kids here. I mean, if you're here for this VBS, this place is packed. We also have a free swimming day coming up. So as a church, we are trying to reach out to the community. We're not just staying within our walls. We're not just staying within our comfort zone. We're trying to grow. So this church is an amazing church, and I love this church and everyone in it. But this church would be nothing if someone didn't start it, if someone didn't start by getting a group of people together to form this church. Now, I don't know if y'all know, but this church started out as a trailer with Pastor Hayes. There were just a few people that attended, but through some true Christians and prayer, our church has transformed into what it is today. So you can have a huge church, but if you aren't spreading the word of God outside these walls, is your church really worshiping, or is it really doing anything that God wants you to do? I pray that everyone here today never ceases to pass up the opportunity that God has given you to talk to someone about the word. I understand nowadays it's kind of hard to get our word out there because everybody's afraid of offending somebody. But that's what God wants you to do. When tough times come, God wants you to glorify him. If it's hard to talk to somebody, that's the person that God wants you to talk to the most. He doesn't want you to talk to somebody who agrees with you as much as you would like you to talk to somebody who doesn't. But you have to understand that God wants us to make these sacrifices as much as possible. If this means posting on Facebook posts that says, "I love God," and losing 5 friends, do it. But I'm not saying you can't have friends. You can't be friends with anybody who doesn't agree with our beliefs. But as Christians, we are to love everyone no matter what. We must tolerate their lifestyles. But we should try to show them the wrong in their life, but do so in love, not in a judgmental way. So by this transformation from a trailer to the church that we are today, you would say that our church has produced the fruit of the spirits, which is my next point. These notes aren't really for you. They're kind of for me. So, I mean, they're really poor. It's a poor PowerPoint, but I don't know. I like them. Thank you. So the verse for that is John 5:15. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in him, and him in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, in order for a tree to bear fruit, it must live a healthy life. Now, if a tree doesn't live the healthiest life, it can still bear fruit. Therefore, if a tree is completely on the edge of breaking, it will then need some help to keep it standing. By having this support to lean on, it is possible that it can make a recovery. With trees and even vegetables, such as tomatoes, if it is starting to bend over, you can tie a post to prevent it from falling over. And Pastor Larry was talking to me that he has this tomato branch, or whatever they're called, plant. Yeah, we'll go with that. That has four...
It's 8 feet wide.
Yeah. It's a monster. But as Christians, in order for us to have the fruit of the spirits, we must first know the fruit of the spirit. Secondly, we must know the word of God. And lastly, we must act obedient upon the word of God in the fruit of the spirits. So anyone can be healthy and wealthy, but all that stuff is materialistic and only of this world. As Christians, our mindset is to be focused on reaching our ultimate destination. We reach this destination by producing the fruit of the spirits. Like a tree, some people may have a foundation problem and as a result will bend over. But just like a tree, we too have a support beam, which is God. By following God and knowing the word, you should have the desire to show the fruit of the spirits in the walk with Jesus Christ. When you show the fruit of the spirits in your daily walk, then you are truly glorifying God. By God being our support beam to lean on, it goes to show that he will always be our protector. And then we'll go to the next one. Shade. So, and then my verse for that is Psalms chapter 91, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Now, on a hot sunny day like we've been having this week, And as Brandy Ryan would say, this is the first week of summer all summer. It's been very hot. And if you don't, like for the people on the mission trip, you probably want to work in the shade. If you don't want to work in the sun all day, you're going to get sunburned, it's going to be hot, you're going to be miserable. But you normally either do, or you can either do all your work in the mornings or evenings. You're not going to do it in the middle of the day, you're going to do it when it's coolest. If you're outside during the afternoon, your best friend is shade. If there is shade where you are working, then that makes it a little bit more bearable. However, shade doesn't block the heat completely. After a long time working, you would normally either go inside or find a shady spot. When you reach the shade, you are a little bit more relaxed because the main heat of the sun is being blocked. As Christians, we are all experiencing a little heat from our sins and tribulations. Because of this heat, we may wave off our Christian duties of going to church, reading the Bible, and fellowship with others. You can get so far into this heat that you become dehydrated from the word and walk away. However, through thick and thin, Jesus Christ will be standing in front, making shade as your protector. Like the verse I just read says, he who rests him in, you will still feel the heat, but the shade will make it bearable. We as Christians have the ability to do amazing things, but only through Christ's power, only through Christ's power he has in us. Without him, without his strength, we can do nothing. Okay. So, in closing, the stronger your foundation is in the word, the stronger you'll be against sin when Satan tempts you. The more embedded your roots are into the word, the more sources of people you'll bring to Christianity with glory to God. The more prosperous your life is, the more opportunities you will have to reach out to others and glorify God. If you are truly casting all your worries upon him, then he will be your protector. If you have all your worries upon him, then you will not bend. You'll be stiff. You won't have to worry. Life will still be rough at times, but you will have someone there for you. So, conforming to the ways of the earth is easier than being the transformation that is needed. As Christians, we are to transform to be like the perfect example in which God has given us. We are to have a strong foundation, deep roots, bear much fruit, and live in the shade of Jesus Christ our Savior. So, I pray that these words that God has bestowed upon me had made you think. I hope you are thinking about all the analogies between a tree and a Christian lifestyle that I preached about. So, if you are questioning whether or not these characteristics are in your life, then I pray that you come up to the altar and ask Jesus Christ into your heart truthfully. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and truly repent from them. Do not ask for him to forgive you if you will not give an honest attempt in turning away from the sin in your life. And then, this will be my closing prayer. So, bow your heads, please. So, Father God, I pray that this message in which you sent me to preach has really caused a commotion in the minds of the congregation. I pray that if they feel any of these three characteristics, just like your spirit characteristics are shown within their walk with you, I pray that they will give everything up to you today. I pray that they know whatever they are trying to overcome, no matter the depth or circumstances, that they are not alone. For those who have a foundation and a root system in your word, I pray that it never stops growing. I thank you for the humbling experience to share your word, Lord. I pray that you continue to use me as an instrument in your master plan, Lord. I say this in your most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Travis. Great word today. Will you please stand? The altar is open.